Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, we are thrilled to have guest speaker Jason Bell
with us today for Mission Sunday 2020. Jason is a personal friend of mine, and his passion for Christ is contagious. So yes, Jason, go ahead and make your way up here, man. I'll introduce you. Jason left a successful career as a fire captain to devote more time to knowing Jesus, his wife Annette, their four children, and the wonderful students of Diamond Hills Church. So he has served as a youth pastor, a senior pastor, and today he travels teaching God's word in fun, practical, and transparent style. He speaks at camps and churches and prisons and schools. So let's give a very warm welcome this morning to Jason Bell. Bless you. Thank you.
Good morning. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to join you in what you're doing. We ask that you would move among us in power today. Would you surprise every one of us by what you do today, Father? Would you change us that we not only believe in Jesus, but that we believe like Jesus? We pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, since some of you, well, many of you don't know much about us, I need to back up about 24 years ago, and my wife and I were minding our own business. We didn't know Jesus at the time. We knew about God, but we didn't know him personally. And we had achieved everything that the world tells you need. Great jobs, the house in the woods on 10 acres, boats, cars. We faced decisions such as, should we go to Lake Tahoe next month or should we go to Cancun? We had everything the world would tell you that you need. But then we attended the funeral service for one of the firefighters that worked for me, and it was for his mother. And at this funeral service, people were excited. They were cheering. They were worked up because the lady who had died was now with Jesus. And she had a brand new body. And she never had access to sorrow or tears or suffering or pain, any of that. All the funerals we had attended were like the sadness contests. Has anyone attended the funerals where it's like a competition who can look like they are grieving the most? This was the exact opposite. People were celebrative. And afterwards, we got in the car and I looked at Annette and I said, "You're not going to believe this, but we need to start going to church." And she said, "I'm feeling the same way." So that was it. Went home, cleared the Budweiser and whatever else was in the refrigerator, set up a bonfire, threw away all my violent music CDs, Slayer, Sepultura, Megadeth, threw it all in the fire. Radically gave our lives to Jesus. Went from being like the most selfish people we knew of, totally worshiping the Trinity of me, myself, and I, to wanting more and more and more of Jesus. And that ended up involving me leaving the fire department, becoming a youth pastor, senior pastor, and traveling. And the reason I start with our story is because you have a story. And your story might look different than mine. And sometimes we hear testimonies. The guy from the metal band Korn, who went from doing everything imaginable wrong to giving his life to Jesus and getting baptized in the Jordan River. Our stories aren't quite that dramatic, but you have a story. And keep in mind, in the book of Revelation, we hear that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. And your story matters. Your story, your walk with Jesus, whether you walked with him your entire life or you're brand new, your story matters. Before we get into how to share Jesus, there's the possibility that someone sitting here today, you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. And the rest of our time together will be so much better. Your eternity will be perfect if you choose right now, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to anyone that you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and saying with your own mouth, He is my Lord, that we become saved. If you wouldn't mind briefly bowing your heads, close your eyes, bow your heads. Is there anyone who would raise their hand at me? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to welcome you into the kingdom, into the family. Is there anyone who would raise their hand today? All right, thank you. You may open your eyes. Now the fun begins. Now that we're all on the same page, nobody raised their hand, so I'm going to assume we're all in this together. Does anyone need a coffee? It's a little quiet. Okay, how about this? Did anyone else think the prophet Jonah resembled Chewbacca? Just me. All right, let's get serious. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we read, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's huge. I meet people when we talk about sharing Jesus and going out and becoming fishers of men, like was just read for us. I meet people who say, there's no way I could ever do that. No way. I'll pray. I'll give to Billy Graham organization. I'll do anything except actually use my own mouth. Well, hold on. It is one of the most enjoyable things you will ever do. Sharing Jesus is so fulfilling, it's addicting. You will want to do it more and more when you begin to do it and use your own personality. You don't have to do it like I do it, like Annette do it, like Pastor John and Rachel do it. Sharing Jesus is something that you will grow into. And I don't think you guys have gotten to James chapter 4 yet, but there's this verse where God says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you ask with wrong motives. I like to ask Jesus to help me as much as possible. And I'll never forget, I gave my life to Jesus. My wife and I went to a bookstore. We bought a Bible and just would read hours and hours and hours a day. Somebody was smart enough to say, well, we'll start with the New Testament, read through the New Testament. We got that advice. So I'm reading through the book of Romans, and I'm just loving what I'm learning. God's going to work everything together for my good because I love Him. I've been justified. Which, that's one of those big words, but justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Which is a really big deal if you're like a former, like, Slayer concert regular, elbowing people in the nose. That's a really big deal to find out that you're justified, just as if I'd never sinned. So I'm going through Romans and I'm loving it. I find out that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus who loved me. Nothing can separate me from God's love. This is awesome. Then I get to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Do we have those verses? Sorry. I'm probably going out of order. Romans chapter 9. That's why I always carry a paper Bible. It never fails. The letters may shrink, but they're still there. Oh, there it is. Awesome. Oh, Israel, my people. Oh, my Jewish brothers. How I long for you to come to Christ. My heart is heavy within me, and I grieve bitterly day and night because of you. Christ knows, and the Holy Spirit knows, that it is no mere pretense when I say that I would be willing to be forever damned if that would save you. That's the version I read it in at the time. And I thought, wait a minute, I was having so much fun here. finding out about what a conqueror I was and that nothing would separate me from God's love. I was justified. Young people, just as if I'd never sinned. And then I read that. Paul said I'd be willing to be forever damned if it meant saving my brothers and sisters. And I remember putting my Bible down and I was like, I don't feel that way. And then like in my head, I had this thought, ask me. Now, I didn't hear a voice. I don't hear voices. Seriously, I don't. Inside me, I felt, well, ask me. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to ask God that I would feel that way. And so I was like, okay, God, would you please give me a burden for other people to know you the way that the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 9? And I got to tell you, something happened. You talk about prayers that God wants to answer, that must have been on the list. And the other time I was reading through the Bible, and I thought, I think I'm supposed to start memorizing Scripture. So we didn't know, believe me, when Annette and I gave our lives to Jesus 24 years ago, we really did not have a whole lot of church in our lives, a whole lot of theology. We didn't know what we were doing, but somewhere along the way, I had learned that I should memorize it. And so I was reading through the Proverbs, and I get to this verse, and it's Proverbs 10:19, and it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to shut my Bible. I should memorize that. And I'm like, okay, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And I was like, wow, this is easy. And God was like, no, you need that. You and your mouth need that. So back to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, I asked God for the burden that others would know Jesus just like Paul had. And I began to change. I don't know, are there any professional firefighters in the house? This is a decent-sized crowd. Okay, when you're a professional firefighter, you live with other firefighters. Now, it's not like choosing a roommate or choosing a bride or a groom. You live with people whether you like each other or not. And I know you see firemen joking and getting along great when we're putting out fires and rescuing people from car wrecks and whatnot, but that doesn't mean we get along perfectly in the firehouse. There's a possibility, like kind of like siblings, if you've ever gotten on a sibling's nerve or had a sibling get on your nerves. Bunch of perfect people. Firemen would get it on each other's nerves, and sometimes on purpose, if you can imagine that. Like, if you've ever seen the movies where firefighters prank each other, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, the movies are barely scratching the surface. So we would get on each other's nerves. But what I noticed after my prayer was that they weren't getting on my nerves anymore. And I started to, like, care about them, like, weird style, like really care. Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong at home? What's wrong with your children? We didn't have children at the time when we gave our lives to Jesus. And just the compassion inside of me, I was changing. And it was like, wow. And I would think of that prayer from Romans chapter 9, God, give me a burden for others to know you like Paul had. And when you pray that way, you begin to change. And it's great, siblings, because they might get on your nerves less. But people will not bother you as much. And you'll begin to develop a love for them and a desire for them to have what you now have, which is Jesus. So I'm going to pray that real briefly. And if you want to pray along, that's fine. Lord Jesus, please give me a burden for others to know you the way Paul had in Romans chapter 9, in Jesus' name. Amen. The next thing that God revealed to me was the power of love. Because when I had the burden for others, I was a little bit like a bull in a china shop, and it was almost like this Jesus machine gun where I would be like, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. But it wasn't really quite as soft and loving and winsome. So God revealed to me that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that's not just for weddings. Did you know that? Have you ever heard that? You're allowed to get that out more often. And I have to laugh because my wife loves it whenever I'm involved in pre-married counseling, because we'll go over like all the stuff like where I'm like dropping the ball and maybe not doing so well in. So anyway, when I would get involved with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for marriage counseling, the one verse that would always spark quite a discussion was love keeps no record of wrongs. Usually one of the either bride-to-be or groom-to-be wasn't really into that verse. That's not really what God meant. So that's a lot of fun. But all that pre-married counseling, it helped me a little bit, right? So there's this verse that says love never fails. Love never fails. And I realized that as we go to share Jesus with others, love is going to play a huge role in that. I'll never forget, I had a friend that we would mountain bike with, more acquaintance / friend that we would mountain bike with, and he was an atheist, and he was a outspoken atheist. He was pretty pleased with his decision not to believe in God. And I wasn't riding with him this day, but he had a horrible accident mountain biking and really destroyed his lower leg, breaking multiple bones. And he had a house where he lived there in Loudonville and couldn't mow his grass. And I would love to tell you that this was my idea, Mr. Super Evangelist, loving guy, but it's not. Another mountain biker said, hey, Jason, don't you think it would be cool if we mowed this guy's grass for him? And I'm like, yeah. I'm not a big lawn mowing person, but so, yeah, that would be great. And he lives 40 minutes away. And so, anyway, yeah. I have flesh too. I'm growing. Why don't we start mowing his lawn for him? You and I live for Jesus. Who's the evangelist? You're a student. He had graduated at that time. And so we took turns just showing up once a week, mowing this guy's grass. And he did not know what to think. That had not been covered in Atheist 101, 201, none of that had been covered. Which, by the way, I'm not putting them down. I love everyone, especially atheists. And it makes them really not know what to do when I tell them how much I love them. We mowed his grass. And I think it was my second rotation. So that would have probably been the fourth time that we had done this. No discussion, just show up to mow. And I was a senior pastor at the time. And so after I get done mowing, he's like, hey, tell me a little bit about your church. And I'm like, wow. I tried to be all cool and stuff, but I was like, yeah, what do you want to know? Well, what time is it? You know, can we bring our kids? And so anyway, that guy would show up, crutches and family. And so he began to come to church, but it was the love that did that. And keep in mind, the Bible says that love covers over a multitude of sins. There's power when we love the way that Jesus loves. And I still pray for him. He has not officially given his life to Jesus. He's been through a lot. And I still pray for that guy years later. He moved out of the area, but he was really startled by our act of love. The other thing I want to talk about is the boldness that we're going to need to share Jesus. And I was surprised the first time I read about boldness. And if you think back to Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John got arrested for praying for a man to be healed, and some religious leaders got angry and jealous, and Peter and John got arrested, and then when they got released, they pray this prayer in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, this really surprised me, because these are the guys, you know, Peter was a big mouth, right? Like, when he started memorizing the Bible, God probably gifted him Proverbs 10:19 as well. When words are not many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. That was probably free for Peter as well. So Peter had a big mouth, and I was a little bit surprised at this prayer. Listen to this language from Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Thank you. It's up on the screen. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Peter and John, the apostles, praying that. And keep in mind, they had received the power of the Holy Spirit not long before that. So these guys have every reason to have boldness. And the apostles are praying, "Enable us with boldness." And that really surprised me. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, I know we're moving quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, and I know sometimes we read about God's armor and we have skits and we dress up in God's armor, and that is awesome and amazing, but there's more to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Pray for each other. "Pray for me." This is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is a big deal. "Pray for me that the power to speak may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly." Let's say that together. That'll be fun. "That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And that was another sign to me. Look, if these superheroes are asking for boldness, I'm going to need it too. Father God, would you please give me the boldness to share Jesus the way you want me to? Let's pray that. If you agree with it, make it your prayer. Father God, please give me the boldness to share Jesus the way you want me to. Amen. So we have so far burden, like the Apostle Paul, boldness, like Paul and the rest of the apostles, and then love. BBL, what is the T? The T is for treasure. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we can steer our hearts, and I had an older pastor teach me this trick years ago, that any area of our struggle, based on Jesus' words, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," we can steer our hearts in the direction we want it. In this case, being evangelism. You can ask Pastor John, "Hey, how can I, here's my tithe, here's my offering, but I'm struggling with witnessing, with sharing Jesus, with evangelism. Where can I send treasure because I want my heart right?" And a couple of days ago, I had to take one of my children to the tire shop because they had a screw in their tire. And they had been driving on it a while, children. And I couldn't tell what kind of a screw it was. And I looked at it and I was like, "I don't know. If I ripped that out right now with some pliers, the tire could go flat." So we went to a tire shop and asked, "How much does it cost if she needs this tire plug?" They said $20. I'm like, "Okay, honey, you got $20. And so the guy comes back quickly smiling. And he's like, no, it was one of them stubby little guys. And I was like, wow. And he was like, yeah, it was in just the right spot. And before he left us, I had a little bit of time with my daughter. And I was like, honey, it's 9 a.m. and you're going to spend $20 on your tire, and it looks like that there's not going to be a charge today. Do you think that you ought to maybe give him $10 and say, hey, is there any way you guys could get donuts this morning? We live for Jesus. And so my daughter was like, yeah, that's cool. So he comes back, and he's like, yeah, there's no charge. Here's your keys. And so my daughter said, well, hey, can I give you $10 for you guys to get donuts because we live for Jesus? And I don't get the impression that ever happened to him before. He was a little bit startled, and he was like, well, yeah, thank you. And I was like, okay, man, God bless you. And that's just one of the ways that you use your treasure to steer your heart, but it also gets their attention. And that'll happen. The more you and I ask Jesus for the burden for others, the boldness for others, ask for a love for others, the more you will want to invest that treasure in the kingdom. And when I first started asking Jesus for the burden and the boldness and whatnot, I showed you my Jesus machine gun. I became more loving as time went on. We hadn't been followers of Jesus for very long. My wife and I used to go out to eat a lot before we had children. It's amazing how that works. And the waitress sat our food down, and have you ever said something and it's kind of like you're saying it, but it sounds like someone else is saying it. It's like a little odd. I'm the only, all right, skip the last three sentences. Here's what happened. The server sat our food down and then, like they always do, said, is there anything else I can get for you today? And I heard myself saying, almost like it was someone else, I had not been taught this. I heard myself say, actually, we're going to thank Jesus for this food. Is there anything we could pray for you about? And she was thrilled. And I was like, wow, this is cool. So the next time we went out to eat, thank Jesus you're not married to me. The next time I went out to eat, I just assumed that my wife should do it, right? We gave our lives to Jesus at the same time. And I was like, oh, hey, honey, you know how the last time when they sat our food down and asked us if we could get anything, and I said, we're going to thank Jesus for our food. Is there anything we could pray for you about? You know, I did that. And she's like, yeah, that was a lot. And I said, well, actually, this time you're going to do it. And she's like, no way. And I'm like, I think I might have said something along these lines, which I've been forgiven for. I think I said something like, well, if you don't say it, she's not going to hear it. Did I say that? Did Jesus forgave me, though? Okay. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do a lot of that, just saying. So I might have actually stooped to that level and said, if you don't say it, she's not going to hear it. Mrs. Belp did it. It was so cool. And then, like, she caught evangelismitis and wanted to share Jesus with everyone. And I'll never forget, I have to be sensitive to the clock. The first time I taught evangelism out of the state of Ohio, it had been a strange, like, several months, and I hadn't preached anywhere. And they were in, like, a school gymnasium, and there was no clock. And I didn't know what time it was. And I think after about 90 minutes of preaching, I think someone finally made a comment. But anyway, that won't happen today, unless you wanted to. So Annette and I just simply asked God, bring Jesus' name up. And we've asked for the burden. We've asked for the boldness. We're open to showing love, however you want us to show love. We've given treasure, and we ask Jesus to bring his name up. I need to wind down here. Sometimes when you go to share Jesus, you end up getting some kind of like a surprise family reunion where the person already knows Jesus. And that's fine too, because it's a blast. It's encouraging. Thursday, I went to work on this message at Mohican State Park. I happened to have my mountain bike with me. Anyway. And I was finished mountain biking, and it wasn't very crowded Thursday. And I was kind of surprised at the amount of like music, and like it looked like there was a party going on by my truck, but there weren't a lot of vehicles. And from my view on the covered bridge, there was a truck behind me. And as I got closer, there was a guy having like a one-man party. He had his music up and had just lit the charcoal grill on fire. And so I just prayed a short prayer. God, help me share you. The music's a little loud. I don't know what this is going to look like. Help me share you. And so sure enough, we got to talking. And he said, oh, I'm from the Worcester area. And I was like, Worcester? I'm getting ready to preach just outside of Worcester. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah, I'm a traveling minister. I teach people how to share Jesus. And he's like, that's great. And he was older than me. And he went in and shut the music off. And I'm like, oh, good. Now we can hear each other. And so it was great. We just had this little reunion and going back and forth and talking about what God's up to in each other's lives. And I said his name, and I said, how about I pray for you? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And bowed his head, and I was kind of leaning on my car door and just prayed a prayer that God would bless him and bless his relationship with the Lord. And he started crying. I was like, okay. And so in Jesus' name, amen. And then I said, you know, is everything okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm great. I just really just felt the love of God right there. And then a lady was walking behind us and to her vehicle, and she said, hey, excuse me, guys. I just want you to know that we're believers too, and we love seeing you. And I'm like, oh, that's great. So sometimes when we go to share Jesus, it ends up being like that family reunion or an opportunity to encourage others. And what time are we? Are we getting close here? 9:30. Sorry, you have 40 minutes. No, I'm just teasing. Mrs. Velp says that one of the reasons why I'm involved in prison ministry, one of the things I like about prison ministry is there's no sermon length, which may or may not be true. The first time I went to preach in prison, I was like, oh, okay, well, how long do I have? And the chaplain kind of smiled at me, and he's like, we're not going anywhere. Wow, this is great. So a couple nights ago, and a lot of times if the weather's nice and I have the time, I would like to sit outside with my Bible and read, pray. Our street sees a lot of walkers and joggers. There's sidewalks, and there's a hospital like a half mile away. So our street is fairly popular, and I make every effort to say hi, and you know, and I don't like come up to the sidewalk and get all weird. I'll make an effort to be polite and say hi to people and whatnot, and I think people get used to seeing me at times. And I remember talking with a guy Monday or Tuesday. I'd spoken with this guy outside my house and talked about dogs and whatnot, and we got interrupted. And I even had my Bible with me. We got interrupted, and I didn't get to say anything about Jesus. And so I was a little confused about that. I was like, wow, God, you know, he departed so quickly, but you know what you're doing. And so just after dark, I don't know, 7-something, Monday or Tuesday night, we had a knock at the door, which is kind of rare. Our neighborhood, we don't get knocks on the door, which, by the way, if you live on our street, and I know this isn't happening now, but there used to be like Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors and like going from neighborhood to neighborhood. I don't know how much that happens in your area, but the people on our street love us because we get one visit and I lovingly share the truth of the gospel with them. And then our street gets removed from their like little thing. But it's happened everywhere we've moved. I'm like, wait a minute. We get one visit and they never come back. I'm always loving and I just share from the Bible, but we do only get one visit, which leads me to talk about gossiping the gospel. And what gossiping the gospel is, that's when you talk about Jesus with others and people can hear you. So just keep that in mind. Now, you don't have to on purpose say, hey, guess what happened? But there are times when you're out in public and you can talk about what Jesus is doing in your life at a volume that others can hear. And you'll be surprised at the degree to which they're listening. And we've had people come up to us and say, oh gosh, you know, I heard you say that, someone got their back healed by God. Would you pray for us? So gossiping the gospel is a real thing. What made me think of that is the last time the Jehovah's Witnesses were at my house and I was out front, I saw a neighbor a bit in the distance, and it's someone that really needs Jesus. And so I adjusted my volume so that, anyway, I'm really loving. I want people to know Jesus, so adjust your volume accordingly. The knock at the door a couple nights ago. So I went down there, and it was the person that I had briefly spoken to earlier in the day, and they wanted to know if I could help them in something that they were involved with. And it was something that, yes, I would be able to help them in, but I could tell by the way they were describing it, the situation, that they hadn't prayed or like they hadn't thought to maybe involve God in this situation. And it was clearly a matter that you involve God with. So after I said, yes, I can help you, then I said, you know, as a follower of Jesus, I think everybody needs Jesus. I know everybody needs Jesus. And in your case, you really need God's help. And then the person said, well, you're probably right. And I said, well, have you ever given your life to Jesus? Have you ever surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior? And the person said, well, no, not like being born again or anything. And I said, well, that's okay. The Bible says that it's by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and saying with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, that we become saved. Do you want to do that right now? Do you just want to say Jesus is my Lord? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, you believe it's true, right? Oh, absolutely. And I said, well, go ahead. And they said, Jesus is Lord. And I was like, that's awesome. And they're like, yeah, it felt good saying it. And I said, well, you need to find a good church. And I, based on where we live, I mentioned a couple churches. And then I said, you know, it's very important that you get baptized in water. And do you have a Bible? No. And so I ran in the house and grabbed a Bible that I had gotten someone for Valentine's Day a couple years earlier. But it's also one of those Bibles where the letters, the words have shrunk, and like younger people would like it more. So I assumed that Mrs. Velt wouldn't mind. So I gave him the Bible, and then I said, well, can I pray for you? And I prayed for them that God would bless their relationship with him and that he would intervene in the situation that was challenging to them. And it was great, and they were just really excited. And the Bible says that we become new creatures in Christ. And it was great to see that. I think that's the first time anyone's ever knocked on our door and had that happening. Most of the time we're out and about. Another thing, if you ever find yourself hardware store, grocery store, Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot, and you need help finding the screws that end up in people's tires, no, you need help finding something. And so someone at Lowe's, Home Depot, hardware store, grocery store, they show you where that item is. And then a lot of times they're like, is there anything else? And I'll just look at them sometimes if you see their name or whatever, you know. So, thank you. And actually, Bill, I live for Jesus. Is there anything I could pray for you about? And you'd be amazed. I've not been punched out yet. And we've been doing this for over 20 years. And it's just bring Jesus' name up. In Romans chapter 1, we don't have time to go there, but the gospel, it's all on God. It's not on you. You're just the messenger. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. It'd be different if it was the power of Jason, John, Annette, Rachel. It's the power of God for salvation. We just bring it up. And you can even pray. I've had to tell people, okay, look, ask Jesus to bring his name up today when you're out and about. You know, it's okay to be a beginner. Ask Jesus to bring his name up. And I've met people who are like, oh, I could never do that. And I'm like, okay, you find a way to share Jesus as you're praying through the burden, the boldness, the love, and the treasure. You find a way for you to share Jesus. Are you the type of person who, maybe you couldn't say that to the waitress, but you could write on a napkin, Jesus Christ loves you, with a really big tip? Always tip big when you mention Jesus' name anyway, but maybe you're the type, or when you're at the hotel or whatever, and you're afraid to share Jesus with the staff and the personnel, and maybe you just leave a $10 bill by your bed and say, Jesus Christ loves you, cleaning staff, or something like that. Ask Jesus to bring his name up. I'll leave you one last story. We had a guest speaking, a ministry trip to Colorado, and we were warned by some really nice people that you can't share Jesus in Denver the way you do it in Ohio. You guys literally could be assaulted. I mean, like, just want to give you a heads up, Denver is not Ohio. And so I'm like, wow, what's that going to be like? And we prayed and about that. And so we were out to eat with another pastor and his wife, and we were getting wings at this restaurant. And I'll never forget, our waitress's name was Andrea. And Andrea sat our food down, and the classic question, is there anything else I can get you? And I paused just for a little bit. I actually thought about our warning, and I paused briefly, just long enough for someone to cut in front of me. Mrs. Velp says, Andrea, we live for Jesus, and as we thank him for this food, is there anything we can pray for you about? Andrea's knees got taken out from her, and she knelt at our table, bursting into tears. And I was like, oh boy, help us, Jesus. And Andrea was snatching up all of our napkins, reaching across the table, crying loudly. I can't believe you asked me that. I gave my life to Jesus years ago. I've been avoiding him. I've been running from him. When I grew up in Oregon, I was so in love with Jesus. But now that I'm here in Colorado, I've lost touch with God. And just on and on and on. And so we invited her, after she calmed down and we found some more napkins, we invited her to the worship service the next day, and she said, I can't, I have to be at the restaurant. And then another one of those times where, like, you hear your mouth say something and you're like, oh, who's that? And it's you. And I said, Andrea, we're going to pray that you get the day off tomorrow. And I was like, who said that? She comes back 10 minutes later and she says, you never believe this. They said they don't need me tomorrow and we'll be there. And I'm like, who's we? And we were like, yeah, that's awesome. God answers prayer. So the next morning during worship, Andrea and her coworker walked into the worship service. Yes, Jesus. So, the gospel is the power of God. You and I are the messengers. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. And we ask that you would settle in our hearts those Bible verses that you most want us to address. Change us to be more like you. May we enjoy sharing Jesus. Amen.